RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The second term of the Trump administration ushering in changes on day one. President Trump, in his first speech after being sworn in, struck an optimistic tone, but also President Trump vowed to reverse the policies of former President Joe Biden. ABC's Jonathan Carl has more.
You heard Donald Trump describe Joe Biden's time in the White House as a, quote, horrible betrayal. It was a harsh condemnation of the outgoing president and a promise of a new age in the implicit, even the optimistic parts of this speech. The coming of a golden age that begins now is a not so implicit condemnation of the age that has just ended.
Today's inauguration and inaugural parade moved indoors due to the bitter cold temperatures. Crowds that were expected to line the streets are now filling up at the Capital One Arena to hear President Trump and Melania, First Lady, later on. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Wisconsin child has died from the flu. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Health officials say they live in the northern part of the state. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services say the flu has been deadly here every year over the last two decades. Respiratory disease epidemiologist Tom Haupt.
Children under five are at higher risk for complications from flu influenza and RSV, for that matter, and COVID, just because of their age. But also pediatric hospitalizations, if they have any kind of underlying illnesses, whether it's diabetes, asthma, anything that would lower their immune system, does increase their possibility of having complications from these particular viruses.
On average, 1 to 6 Wisconsin kids succumb to the illness each year. Depending on the strain, 5 to 20% of people can get the flu each year, according to the American Lung Association. And now there's another complication, one that has grown since the start of the pandemic, vaccine hesitancy. Fewer and fewer people are getting their flu shot each year.
We're running at 31% statewide right now, which is disappointing. It's a little bit lower than last year, but it continues that decline. It's frustrating because we want to get this message out to people as to the complications and what can happen if the person who is at high risk does come down with complications. Unfortunately, we have this pediatric death.
Haupt says we're approaching the peak of illness season between flu, COVID-19, and respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV. When it comes to the COVID-19 vaccine, only 16% of eligible Wisconsinites have an updated shot. Meanwhile, 22% of people above 60 have their RSV vaccine. To find a vaccine near you, you can call your doctor's office, your local pharmacy, or your local health department. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks extend their winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks with another decisive win at home, 123-109 over the 76ers. Giannis Antetokounmpo led with 35 points, but he pointed out that Philadelphia was shorthanded. No Paul George, Kyle Lowry, Joel Embiid, all out with injuries for the 76ers.
I got to give them credit. You know, they played hard. You know, they didn't have their main guys, so the guys that came in played extremely hard, played together, they made shots. You know, they did all the right things to have the game that they had tonight.
So the Bucks have now won 4 in a row. They play the Pelicans in New Orleans on Wednesday. College hoops. Wisconsin with a West Coast win over the weekend, 84-69 over USC. The Trojans did score 13 unanswered points.
Defensively, to be able to catch ourselves after that first 5 to 7 minutes when they made a run back at us. And I think this the moxie of the group, they didn't panic. I think that's what makes this team really, really good.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 1 degree.
Matt Nair on air.
Robotaxis made by Zooks. are slated to hit the streets of California later on this year. Rides will initially be free for people who agree to test it out. You go first.
Wait, have you ever wanted to drive in a four-person casket with no driver?
My biggest sticking point about this is the name. Zooks is a cartoon character.
Yeah. Do you think when he's driving, he's going bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da bubba da
bubba? Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin, in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Jess P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, it's Inauguration Day. Tune in to hear some historical context and perspective from our favorite Delano Democrat, Harvey K.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network to help us make sense of all of the chaos and moving elements of this next Trump administration. Every Monday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be joined by some very smart folks from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My next guest, I'm very happy and humbled to bring him back to the show. You've heard from him before, my friend, and now a friend to each and every one of you. His name is Colin Seeberger. He's the Senior Advisor of Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here to talk about, I don't even know what you call what we watched this morning. Maybe the billionaire fest that was the 47th president's inauguration this morning. It was wild.
Yeah, I don't know if we were celebrating the transition of power in this country or this was just groveling at the feet of the broligarchy. It was really incredible to see some of the, most wealthy people in the history of the world, yes, be getting, positioned right behind the president, right behind the vice president. Meanwhile, you have members of his cabinet being pushed further back. You have members of Congress not even be able to get into the room. Governors, people like Brian Kemp, people right, like Governor Abbott of Texas,
they're
right?
In the
these
overflow
are allies.
Room.
Allies of the president, right, aren't even able to get a foot in the door because Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, it was incredible. And it really just, I think, underscored for folks who is a priority for Donald Trump. And I think it's a real warning sign to Americans as to, what may be coming over the course of the next 4 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to ask you a question, Colin, about like these two competing ideas or lines of commentary that at least are floating around in my head, and I think a lot of people's. One is the fact that President Biden, including Vice President Harris, President Obama, former President Clinton, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, showed up and participated in today's events, and why, at least in my opinion, it was the right thing to do, because this is about the office of the President of the United States. It's about being able to criticize our government and institutions and yet still show respect for our democratic processes, right? That at that same time, you have a crass ass who never shows any class, right? Like denigrating the former president that's sitting right behind him. So this idea, and I think it plays out on different levels, right? That we can criticize and demand more from our institutions, and yet understanding that our democratic processes those things have to be improved and yet respected in these moments of transition and these pivotal tipping points. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? Because there's not just one line of thought here. We've got to deal with a bunch of competing ideas at the same time.
Yes. While I understand perhaps the instinct of some folks to want to take a pass, particularly people like former Speaker Pelosi, who was hunted down in the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago by the president's supporters. Do I understand? Do I empathize with the decision to not attend? Yes. Do I also recognize that Donald Trump, the American people just voted for him? I think that kind of the first step in healing is acknowledging, you have a problem, right? And that's why I think for Democratic leaders who chose to attend, I think it's an important first step. It's an important picture for the American people to see that, you know, we have these political differences, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue to respect the will of the people and also make progress where, we're able to find common ground.
Yes. And here is the thing that I think, based on his inaugural address today, that leaps to the top of my mind. And that is, you ran on a platform committing to help the middle class. And yet it seems one of the first things that you're interested in doing is actually rolling back rights for many people, and that there will be a lot of things coming. I don't know what the raids are going to look like in Chicago, LA, New York this coming weekend. I don't know what form all of this will take, but the idea that we're coming for your rights, and frankly, some of his promises in his inauguration to do that, I think should merit pause for people. And hey, is this actually serving the American people? How does this serve and better the working people and the regular middle class that he promised to help lift up?
So I think that's actually my big takeaway from the speech this morning is, you know, you look at all the ads that Donald Trump ran on air from his campaign during the election, you know, a lot of them were really focused on, we need to lower the cost of living. We need to lower prices. Inflation is killing people. People feel more squeezed than ever. And yet, you know, the guy was ticking off his day one priorities list. And he's talking about, we need to crack down on DEI and gender this, that, the next, and bureaucrats this, and hey, we're going to invade Panama, right? And try to seize the Panama Canal, right? All of these things are meant to be a distraction from the fact that the guy doesn't have a day one agenda or a 4-year agenda to lower the cost of living, to bring down grocery prices. You played a clip just a few minutes ago where Donald Trump was talking about putting the American flag in Mars. You're telling me we have the money, we have the resources to be, underwriting Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos sending people to Mars, but we don't have the money to make your groceries a little bit cheaper at the end of the week? Give me a break.
Well, and that's, to me, that this point at which you come to, this inflection point, where if you look at the executive orders that he promised to execute this morning in his inaugural address, and we can grant that there is a problem at the southern border and with our immigration system. It doesn't work well. It's not efficient. It's not effective.
We're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
Yes.
It's fair for people to say we should have a secure border.
Absolutely. And after you get past that, like, yes, let's work to secure the southern border. well, let's invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. What are you actually going to build concentration camps? Okay, well, I'm sure that'll be come on the cheap. The plant a flag on Mars. Yep, that's super cheap. Declare an energy emergency. Wait a minute. Under the Biden administration, we produced more oil and natural gas than ever in our nation's history. What are you actually even talking about? I'm going to tariff and tax foreign countries. Well, tariffs aren't paid by foreign countries. They're paid by the importing businesses. I fail to see how that's going to work. Again, all in the service of reducing tax burdens for the wealthiest among us. Censorship. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that like DEI, censorship, and all these things, that's really what's going to move the needle for the American middle class. Like none of it actually... The closest he gets is the tariff and tax foreign countries, which is a lie because that's not how it works. Everything else had nothing to do with helping middle class families put more dollars in their bank account and do better. Nothing. Nothing.
Or make government work better. More efficiently, right? You know, I mean, you brought up immigration. You know what? Let's dive into this for a second. Everything that Donald Trump laid out today is not a solution for actually making the immigration system work. It's not, you know, how do we make sure that we have a secure border? It is completely close everything. It is, you know, getting rid of pathways to actually have an organized and an orderly immigration system so we know who is coming into and out of the country. Take, for instance, today, you know, they announced that they're going to, or it was reported that the president is going to sign an executive order that is going to terminate the use of CBP-1, which allows people to basically make appointments with immigration enforcement at the border. So that way, you know, they can have an orderly process for entering the country, right? People showed up to their CBP-1 today. And they're told, no, your appointment is no longer, you know, no longer moving forward. All of it is, how do we basically destroy the entire system and make it not work? And then shout that we've got problems and you know, try to use that as a political cudgel against the man's perceived political enemies. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's that sort of gets right at the heart of the issue, right? Like blow it up and destroy it and then act like somebody else made it, like that someone else alone created the problem. This has been a problem that administrations have been trying to address for literally decades in our country to little to no effect because we allow the politicization to keep us from actually doing something. And by the way, every law enforcement expert that I have ever worked with or spoken to about the concept of mass deportation and immigration raids into communities and businesses and rounding people up say, oh my goodness, please don't do that because it will make it so much harder to keep communities safe or to improve safety in communities that are struggling with a lot of violence because everyone will be afraid of us and no one will talk to us. And that's when you're running on a public safety platform and you do the thing that law enforcement experts say is actually going to decrease public safety. It's a little bit of a hard sell. We're going to come back with my very special guest, Colin Seeberger. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump's priorities for his second term and how they're going to impact you and your family. So keep it locked. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Joining us, my name's Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a special guest from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. His name is Colin Seeberger. You can find an expert from the Center for American Progress Action Fund with me every Monday at 3 p.m. to help make sense of all the nonsense. And certainly we heard a bucket full of it this morning from the 47th president while standing in front of a grouping of billionaires and his family. It was like Donald Trump, family and billionaires, and then his cabinet. And then, you know, like the rest of the Congress people and everybody, you just sit with the regular folks. And the real regular folks, you know, the 95% of us, they were stuck in the hockey stadium down the block. Kind of unbelievable. Colin, let's pick back up where we left off. It looks like he's going to be moving forward with a number of executive orders today, probably most notably in the immigration space. What else comes to the top of your mind as most alarming for Wisconsinites and regular Americans?
Reports out today that the president is going to be moving on day one to pull us out of the Paris Climate Agreement. This is, I think, really not a sign of strength. I think it is, frankly, a sign of weakness. And it's also, you know, pulling America back, you know, from a real leadership position. You know, I think really puts our cities, our states like Wisconsin, businesses and communities that are being, you know, ravaged more and more by climate related events. You know, in Wisconsin, there were the tornadoes last year, right? There's, you know, I think a number of different kind of markers, like we saw the Great Lakes have kind of record low ice right now. We are seeing all of this play out in real time. And so to see, you know, the president moving quickly to pull out of the Paris Climate Agreement, right, I think, you know, is a real abdication of not just American leadership, but really throwing all of global climate action into chaos.
Yeah, it's again, when you stack up the things that he is saying are his priorities for day one against the campaign promise to help lift and elevate the middle class, and you look at what the impacts of what he's doing will be, And it's actually going to hurt the middle class, like deporting millions of people, if it can even be done, while, you know, violating all kinds of fundamental constitutional ideals and precedents, is going to make things more expensive, right? Moving to a tariff-based system is going to make things more expensive. Pulling back from our support of Ukraine will only lead to further Russian aggression and the expenditure of even larger amounts of dollars, right? And the weakening of our allies, requiring the expenditures of even more larger chunks of dollars. Moving from taxes to a tariff system just taxes the middle class more while giving breaks to the billionaire. I'm losing the thread here, Donald. How is any of this helping regular Wisconsinites or regular people? None of it does. It's all just distractionary culture war stuff.
Totally. I mean, the guy is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. You know, he can't talk about, you know, wanting to be the president of law and order and keeping our community safe. And yet at the same time, you know, networks are reporting today that the new Trump Justice Department is going to pull out of January 6th related cases, including more than 300 felony related cases that have, you know, involve felony crimes like police officers, among other violent acts. And so, you know, these are the kind of folks that we're talking about getting a blanket, you know, a blanket kind of pass and say, hey, don't worry about it, because at the end of the day, it was all for Donald Trump. But you're exactly right. I mean, whether it is, you know, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. And his legacy, and yet at the same time, making it harder to actually execute on his vision, the guy, again, is the king of talking out of both sides of his mouth. And it does nothing to make people's lives better.
Yeah. And even down into the sort of issues of the moment, right? Natural disaster emergency responses, while not mentioning climate at all. It's like, well, say what you will about whatever you think about the responses to the LA fires. That doesn't happen without all of this climate degradation as precondition, overbuilding, overdevelopment, you can go on and on and on. It's not one cause for any of this stuff. It's numerous causes. Here in the state of Wisconsin, local communities are facing tens of millions of dollars in infrastructure repair and shore up that has largely been not just caused by, but destruction accelerated by environmental degradation and natural resource depletion that is showing up on the tax bills in each and every one of us, so that we're spending more to shore up our infrastructure here in the state of Wisconsin and have less dollars for the things that middle-class people need, like ensuring that our public schools are funded adequately, making childcare more affordable. There's so much going on here, Colin. If you would, can you zoom out for our Wisconsin listeners and tell each and every one of us what you think is really should be top of mind as we try to filter through what is going to be a fire hose of nonsense while also really important things are happening at the same time?
Yeah, I think that folks have to pay attention to not what Donald Trump is saying, but what he's actually doing, he and his cabinet are doing as it relates to things like you know, following the Constitution. We saw him talk about this in his speech today, and yet his administration is apparently going to end birthright citizenship, which is a blatant violation of the Constitution. Right. They're talking about, you know, bypassing Congress to spend money at the president's discretion, not at Congress's. It is really lawless, and you know, I guess it's not a surprise from a guy who's a convicted felon, but here we are.
Yes. Folks, that's Colin Sieberger. He is the Senior Advisor for Communications at the Center for American Progress Fund. You can find special guests from the Center for American Progress Action Fund every 3 p.m. on Mondays. They help make me smarter every week. I hope you appreciate them, too. When we come back, I'll be joined by my partner in broadcasting, Dom Salvia, who's got the great program follow.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Where's the farmland market headed early in the new year? I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And Dr. Bruce Sherrick, a professor of farmland economics at the University of Illinois, says a lot of people are interested in that information. He talks about what may be some of the bigger influences on the market.
We have inflation that appears to be higher for longer, according to both the Fed and the stance of financial markets. People are recognizing that the incoming administration will have changing priorities on renewable fuels or decarbonizing the energy complex, perhaps, and questions around trade policy and tariffs in particular. At the same time, we didn't get a farm bill written, but we got an extension. And on top of the extension, we seem to have become comfortable with ad hoc payments again. So we have another disaster bill or another payment bill in the works. And so I think this understanding that income used to be based on what you grew in markets that you could somewhat predict. Now we don't know if income is dependent on a trade issue or an extra payment or a disaster or a change in the subsidy rate on crop insurance or any number of things that we used to not have as high on the list of potential problems.
Again, that's Dr. Bruce Sherrick of the University of Illinois along with us. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 484 and a quarter, up 9 3/4. New crop corn closed at 456, up 3 1/4. Cash beans closed at 1034, up 15 cents. And new crop beans closed at 1027 and 3/4, up 7 cents. Cash wheat closed at 538 3/4, up 1 1/4, and new crop wheat closed at 560 1/2, up a penny. February Class III milk contract is trading at 2015 a hundredweight, that is up 9 cents, and March milk is trading at 1991, up 3 cents. Barrel cheese had no change and closed at 189. 40-pound block cheese also had no change and also closed at 189, and the AA butter closed down a half and closed at 253. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With high temperatures barely climbing above zero and winds whipping out of the northwest, it's creating dangerous wind chills. Where highs today are really feeling more like 25 below. A cold weather advisory is in effect now and switches to an extreme cold warning overnight tonight. We're to be feeling 40 below. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 1 degree.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCL, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jack Smith's report. Maggie, prosecutors considered charging Trump with inciting insurrection, but didn't.
There's an old saying, if you shoot at the king, don't miss. If it's someone who's really powerful or really rich, I gotta be absolutely certain I can prove every charge beyond a reasonable doubt. When it's people that don't have means, then it's I'll throw every conceivable charge at you.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
How will the incoming presidential administration impact you? We'll discuss with Sandy Williams following Monday's inauguration on Donald Trump.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I hope you all are trying to filter things so that the good gets in and the negative stays at least an arm's length away. Unfortunately, I have to share with you what can only be described as some really disturbing images. Apparently, Elon Musk addressed a crowd of Donald Trump's supporters. And within the last 30 minutes, apparently, actually gave, and I'm watching the clip right now, it can only be described as a Nazi salute. He puts his hand to his heart and sticks his hand up in the air. I don't know how else to describe it. I'm watching it right now. Elon Musk is obviously not a moron and would understand what that hand gesture would connote or could connote or how it could be interpreted. Just ridiculous. Also hearing some reporting, I haven't been able to listen to the clips yet, that Donald Trump sort of admitted that he might have pulled one over on all of us, something along those lines. Again, I haven't been able to personally listen to it, but I think there is some coverage that's going to be coming out of this rally after the inauguration that can only be described as disturbing. Dom, you were a conscientious objector this morning for the inauguration. And folks, let me introduce my fabulous guest. His name is Dom Salvia. He's got the great program After Mine every Monday through Friday. He is the host of the Dom Salvia Show. Cardi's got the sound that we're listening to. You are a conscientious objector, but I'm curious to hear what this is. Dom, are you curious? Shall we take a listen just live on the air and see what we got here?
Yes, actually, I have this clip. I have heard it, and it seems like another one of those times where Donald Trump, you know, accidentally speaks the truth, question mark?
Where he's off the script and out of his mouth comes the actual stuff.
Right.
Well, my interest is piqued. Let's take a listen, Cardi.
And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
That's Musk. That's the salute.
That's the Musk salute. Now, and this one, I did see it on The Independent. Not only does he slaps his heart.
His chest.
And then puts that hand straight up in the air. He turns around and does it to the crowd behind him. He does it twice. Back to back. It's very evident. It's very clear. This is not some mistake or something that could be misinterpreted. He did it twice.
Wow. I don't have words for that. I mean, I don't have words for that. That is absolutely ridiculous. Why, let's just start with this as a baseline. I started the show this afternoon with this little tidbit, Dom, that the billionaires that Donald Trump sat with his family right behind him on the dais at the inauguration have a net worth north of $11 trillion, approaching $12 trillion. The bottom 95% of all Americans have a net worth of around $3.6 to $3.8 trillion. I just want us to absorb those facts.
Yes.
Right? Like, that is the difference. Why is that okay? Why is a completely transactional president acceptable? I guess we could go into all of the reasons for the, people staying home during the election cycle, being uninspired by both candidates. But that doesn't mean like actually just go full grift, full transactional, full embrace of Nazism. Like, that's not what people actually voted for. They didn't vote for corruption. I think whatever people may think about Donald Trump, they actually thought they were voting to try to stop those things. Why does he think he can go like full corrupt? Well,
why would people think that would be the case? If you're down, and certainly the institutions that all of us rely on have failed us to a certain degree, Maggie Dawn, our justice system did not fulfill its obligations, in my humble opinion. So if you're looking for someone to blow the whole thing up, well, what are some of those institutions and legacy issues? Well, they combat this kind of action. They're there to combat the corruption, the grift, and the greed, to temper it. So if you're going to try to blow the whole thing up, well, why wouldn't you? The guy just released his meme coins and has like $60 billion on paper before he became the president. I mean, if this is a pure cash grab to the nth degree, and if you're out there making your $15 an hour and thinking like you're getting stiffed and you're not getting a raise and things are tough, and you go out and you vote for a guy like Donald Trump who's got $11 trillion sitting behind him, who made his own, apparently on paper with this whole scheme, of billions and billions of dollars prior to walking into the White House, you know, maybe you should reassess whether or not this is a guy who's going to be out there lowering the price of eggs, because they're already backing off of that promise.
Well, and my entire show, I've basically been ticking off, you know, his hot topics from the inauguration speech. It's like, none of that has anything to do with helping the middle class do better.
No.
If anything, the things that he's promising to do will make things more expensive and more difficult for the middle class. It's just, wow. I'm still trying to grapple through the Elon Musk Nazi salute three times to a crowd of support. And by the way, I thought this was rich this morning as Mike Pence, who attended this inauguration alone, did not bring his wife, as he was walking into the Capitol Rotunda, the people in the hockey rink, you know, who didn't really rate a front row seat because they don't have billions. The people in the hockey rink down the road booed Mike Pence.
Booed? They weren't chanting "Hang Mike Pence" again, were they? It was just straight up boos.
It was just straight up booze.
I mean, that's a positive turn for the former vice president. If you're only getting
they did get in some lock her up for Hillary, though.
And mother stayed out? Mother stayed home? Interesting.
Fascinating. No mother appearing. You know, I'd never think I would ever say this, that Michelle Obama and Mrs. Mike Pence apparently have a very similar BS limit. Like, and this is it. Yeah. I am not going to this guy's inauguration. Okay, we've got the clip of Donald Trump admitting that maybe there was some hanky-panky going on. Let's take a listen.
But he went out to Pennsylvania after that. Musk. He landed that rocket nobody had ever seen. By the way, China can't do it. Russia can't do it or come close. It would be 10 years before they can do it. And the U.S. can't do it except for him. And it's pretty amazing. But he did that. And then he journeyed to Pennsylvania, where he spent like a month and a half campaigning for me in Pennsylvania. And he's a popular guy. And he was very effective. And he knows those computers better than anybody. All those computers, those vote counting computers. Mm. And we ended up winning Pennsylvania like in a landslide. So it was pretty good. So thank you to Elon.
Coming from, you know, the very cool landing of the rocket booster to, you know, out there promoting me, helping me out in Pennsylvania, what does that have to do with anything with the vote count and the computers that Elon Musk apparently is an expert in?
Nothing. Like, nothing. It's like saying a podiatrist is also a brain surgeon. Like, you're good at one tech thing doesn't mean like, oh, you know them computers. It shows you like the depth of Donald Trump's ignorance when it comes to all things tech. By the way, his and I think you were talking about this, his cryptocurrency got like a massive chunk of seed money from a Chinese billionaire about a month and a half ago, which brought him up to the total seed money where now everything is going to be profit. And they're estimating, by the way, there's no limits on foreign governments or people that want to peddle, you know, trade for influence, that his family may end up making northwards of like $8 billion a year off the crypto, because it can effectively be, it's like a money laundering scheme. I don't know all the particulars about it. I'm going to spend some time on that, but it's like, it is. It's just widespread grift. Thanks, Elon, for delivering Pennsylvania. If giving people $1 million check for their votes in support of me wasn't quite enough, I'm really glad you got in there with those voting and election machines.
Yeah, how is that? I'm really looking forward to some sort of follow-up question with that. With regard to the meme coin issue with Trump and rolling it out with the way they did and all the insiders, hell, Melania's got her own now. She rolled hers out. It went up to a few billion, actually took a few billion away from Trump, to my understanding on the reading. But here's the thing. Back in the day, you used to have to go out and buy their book, right? You have to buy it. Maybe give all this money to the campaign to buy 100,000 books and then burn them all, because that's not the point. It's just to facilitate. And then then Trump, you know, he upped the game. He bought a hotel, and then people had to, like, pretend to stay at the hotel, and that'd be another way to just, you know, transfer the money from the folks to Donald Trump directly. Now the guy's got his own meme coin.
Just crypto.
It just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
Just give me the money.
It's no longer show me the money. I just want some Jerry Maguire back. I want some Rod, you know, spike in a football. I need a little show me the money, not just give me the money, and then I'll deregulate your industry and punish foreign European countries if they try to restrict your spread of misinformation and garbage. I mean, why is it all the tech billionaires that are giving Donald Trump all this money? Well, because they want their crap deregulated, and they want Donald to punish the countries that actually try to say you have a responsibility to your users, that this doesn't become a cesspool of lies and hate and the most vile things that human beings can dream up. It is, you use your pen, your power to tariff, to punish people who don't cooperate with my industry, who don't cooperate with my megalomania, my penis rocket aspirations, and my I want to control all of AGI for all the time to come. That's why it's concentrated in the tech bro universe. It's not just Bill. It's very specifically tech bros, because that is the regulatory risk or tipping point that we find ourselves at. And that's what scares me the most, Dom. Deportations, bad. The LGBTQ hate, bad. The woman hating, the race baiting, all of that bad. But probably, along with climate, the two most significant risks to all of humankind are both in climate, and then, of course, how is tech going to be deployed in a militaristic and privacy eviscerating way in the future? How much of ourselves can be sold to the highest bidder over the internet? And if it's Donald Trump making the rules, there will be no rules. Period. Full stop. Unbelievable. Folks, I'm joined by my special guest who joins me every Monday at 3:30. His name's Dom Salvi. He's got the fine, fine program that follows mine every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. We like to call this, in case you missed it, because sometimes I can get things that Dom missed. Sometimes he's got things that I missed. It's a lot of fun here. Folks, you want to participate, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I got to give a special bit of love to the following texters and participators. Gary from Madison, Cam from Appleton, all of you, Bill Kabinski from Green Bay. I really appreciate all of the info flowing in, and a special big shout out and love to you, Lauren in Eau Claire, who says that she has chosen Civic Media over NPR for the past 6 months because we cover the stuff that no one else is talking about. Big love to you, Lauren. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, everybody out there, really appreciate it. Here's Mark Cuban today on X. If meme coins are the way, maybe I'll issue one with a twist. Same terms as Dalla Dalla Bill Trump, yo. A 20% float, same release schedule, one difference. All the revenue from the sale of the coins goes to the U.S. Treasury. The wallet address will be published so that everybody can track it. If you want to gamble, gamble, but at least use it to make a dent in the U.S. debt. Hey, there you go. Maybe one day we'll have some billionaires using their superpowers for good. Mark Cuban, I appoint you number one billionaire to figure that out. When we come back, we're going to talk about the last hour of Joe Biden's presidency and some of the pardons that he dropped with my special guest, Dom Salvi. You're not going to want to miss this last bit of discussion. What does that portend for the Trump pardons? We discuss next. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversations. So join this one. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
News from the Center, WRCE. Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Zip lining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Anthony Anderson. For the past 80 years, the United Negro College Fund has helped more than 500,000 students graduate from college and become leaders of our nation. Since its beginning in 1944, UNCF has made one truth known: a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Support UNCF as they continue supporting the dreams and hopes of 50,000 deserving students each year. Please visit uncf.org today. Happy 80th, UNCF.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Power to the people and you. Let's stop the billionaires from taking over our government. It's just like, how many times do we have to review the Cliff Note version of this? You know, Elon Musk's wealth has just skyrocketed since Donald Trump's election for all the reasons that we've talked about. And here are the facts. Let me see if I can find the exact statistics. It's something like $5 trillion worth of wealth has moved from the bottom 95% of us to the top 1% of us. I mean, that's in, let me get this exactly right, because it's not 5 trillion, Dom. It's worse than that. It's a scale of 10 larger. Since 1981, as much as 50 trillion has moved from the bottom 90% to the top 1%.
No wonder why people feel like they haven't gotten a raise in 50 years.
Right?
There's a reason for that.
It's just, after World War II, the top marginal tax rate was 91%. Today, 37%, with Donald Trump's promise to bring it down to 25%. I'm sure that'll help with our deficit. But I promised that we would talk about the pardons. Let's start with the most interesting of them. I think the most important of them. And that was Donald Trump's pardon, and not pardon, commutation of the balance of his sentence for Leonard Peltier.
Biden. I'm sorry. Biden did that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Did I say Trump? Sorry. So many things happening this afternoon. Joe Biden's commutation of the balance of the sentence for Leonard Peltier, a Native American activist who was one of several people involved in a firefight in 1975 that killed FBI agents Ronald Arthur Williams and Jack Ross Kohler on South Dakota's Pine Ridge Reservation. He was the only person convicted in connection with their deaths. Two of his fellow activists were also charged in the murders, but were acquitted on evidence Peltier's defense was actually not allowed to present at his trial.
Yeah.
Amnesty International, Pope Francis, Nelson Mandela had all called for his release. Your reaction to this? I got text messages from a number of my First Nation friends celebrating his commutation and thanking President Biden for same.
Yeah, I mean, it's long overdue. Symbolically great, little late. The guy's like 80 years old and has lots of health problems, but at least he'll spend his remaining days not confined for this act. In a circumstance where he was with other folks that could not present the evidence that may have exonerated him and put him in jail for all these years.
Yeah, the advocates for his commutation or pardon have pointed to the admission by a key witness in his conviction that she had lied both about witnessing the murders and her own relationship to Peltier, as well as a juror who was seated despite admitting to prejudice against Native Americans. Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Hey, Donald, that's what actual like rigged system looks like. Not what you received, buddy. I mean, woof. Congratulations to Mr. Peltier, his family, and the entire Native American advocacy community and all First Nation peoples. It was time. I also wanted to talk about Joe Biden pardoning. Literally, this pardon was announced at about 11:50 a.m. East Coast time, right like minutes before Donald Trump was to take the oath of office and become the 47th president of the United States. President Biden pardoning numerous members of his family. Your reaction to this, Dom?
Terrible. I have a big problem with this, and for all sorts of reason, precedent notwithstanding. A president has never pardoned people, neither charged nor suspected of wrongdoing. You know, my whole thing was when you accept a pardon, I think it was the sheriff, Joe Arpaio, when he accepted, you know, there's an admission of the guilt, right? You accept the crime that you were accused of. What are the crimes? What are the crimes? Under what circumstance are his family accepting these pardons? Not just his family, the J6 committee, Milley as well. What were their crimes? Why go down this
road? How about the January 6th officers? He pardoned a number of police officers that have been outspoken following the January 6th event.
What's the crime? What is the pardon? What, a blanket pardon?
But that's not, I mean, that's not why he's pardoning them, right? He's pardoning them because there is a, I think, fairly legitimate belief that Donald Trump will try to do what he has derided the entire time he in the last 4 years, and that is weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI under the leadership of Kash Patel and Pam Bondi to persecute political opponents and those that spoke out against him. I think, to me, I understand the practical impetus for the pardon. The thing that worries me is, what does this portend? Is
right.
It sort of conceding the point that, like, yeah, go ahead and engage in political prosecutions?
Yes, it says all sorts of bad things. Number one, it says you don't have faith. If these folks are innocent, didn't do anything wrong, then any sort of weaponization of the DOJ would be folly, right? So either they did something wrong, you're concerned about them being, what, found guilty by a jury of their peers. You know what I'm saying? So you don't have faith in the system. Maybe they did something wrong. You know, I think if you're going to be in this role, you're going to stand up there and be Fauci, you're going to be up there and be Milley. You know, you do it with conviction and you take your chances. Because now what's going to happen? This is precedent. Now Donald Trump is going to sell all the pardons and give them all away on his way out of town when these $11 trillion folks are working the system over to put more money into their pocket and crap it on the rest of us. And now then he'll just do the same thing. I think it's a terrible precedent.
It is complicating times. We always try to break it down here every day. I do my best for each and every one of you. You got Dom Salvia coming up next with his fine program. That concludes mine for this Monday Inauguration Day. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to each and every one of you. Remember, we can continue this grand American project that requires honesty, fearlessness, and commitment to the promise that America is, which doesn't mean erasing our history or, you know, selling it all to the highest bidder. I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But always remember, it is...
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some communities considering getting rid of fluoride. What would this mean for you? Brought to you by Big Cavity. We'll kick it around tomorrow. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Dom Salvia Show.
Brad Schimmel, a J6 sympathizer, and he wants to be your next Wisconsin Supreme Court justice. When he was Attorney General of Wisconsin, he spent thousands of dollars on memorial coins.
I would have been fired.
That stood
if
for
I'd done that.
Kicking ass every day. Hey, if you got to get a coin that says it, you're probably not
with
doing it.
With your face on it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and after being sworn in for a second term, President Donald Trump pledged to sign a wave of executive orders reversing the Biden administration's policies on everything from the economy, energy, and immigration. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House.
On those executive actions, a heavy focus on immigration and the border situation. He says he'll declare an emergency at the southern border and that all illegal entry will be immediately halted. A very, very challenging task for this incoming team, of course. He also emphasized drill, baby, drill, which got a big applause from that crowd in the rotunda of the Capitol. That was something we heard often from him on the campaign trail. He will roll back a lot of the Biden administration's executive actions when it came to offshore drilling bans.
After a bipartisan congressional luncheon, President Trump taking part in the first honors ceremony with troops positioned from all six armed service honor guard formations welcoming their new commander in chief. This is ABC News.
You can